Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Mark and Heidi, the other D'Amelios. I'm Mark.
And I'm Heidi. How are you, Mark?
I'm doing great, man. So, do you think we're good at podcasting?
I would not, no. We've been on a lot of other podcasts lately, and I feel like everybody's good at it, and I'm not good at it.
No, I think you're really good at it.
No, let's be honest here.
I think we got to find...
You're good at it.
You think so?
I mean, you're okay. You're a little wordy.
Am I?
Yeah, like I'll ask you a question and you go on for a really long time.
You know what? I use a lot of words. You use a lot of space between your words. I think equal the time we spend is probably the same.
Shut up.
And if you take into account what you forget sometimes.
Oh, yeah, I do have that problem.
Your lost train of thought, I'm sure.
My whole entire life needs a teleprompter. Like my thoughts need to be on a teleprompter because I forget.
Do you think the producers could get us some information on how, in a 30-minute podcast, how much I talk,
you know,
and how much you talk? This is what we need, guys.
The amount of time I talk.
The amount of time we talk, but then also to refute Heidi's argument, but I think she's probably right. How many words do we put in? So
you know, people say, like, the blanket sort of stigma is women talk a lot. In our case,
you were not that chatty when we first met. I do think you've been.
I'm still not chatty. I can't get a word in edgewise with you. You talk all the time.
How am I like the?
It's
whole
not a bad thing.
Concept
I
of
love
a podcast is to talk.
No,
and if you're not talking, I don't know. That
I'm
people...
not talking because you don't give me a second. You're just doing it right now. But I love that you talk. I think. Some guys are just more quiet in relationships, and the woman will chatter, and it's the other way around for us. But I like it because you have a lot of good points. I feel like, you know what I love about you? We're going to go back for a minute here. From when I first met you, I had never met someone that had a perspective on lots of things in life, things I never really thought about. And you are so good at looking at both sides. And, you know, a million years ago when I was 25 and we met, I feel like I kind of would like have my stance and my POV. And then it was nice to be around someone that always gave the other side, like, look at both sides of it before. And I have really from then used that my entire life. Like even parenting the girls, they will come to me, you know, with their situation or something. And I'm like, well, let's look at like both sides of it and see, you know, at least get another perspective before you get your feet dug into like what you think about something. Like, I just think looking at the whole picture is so good because it keeps it from being too one-sided. And, you know, you kind of play both sides against each other and see, you know, where do I stand on that? So I love that about you. Now tell me something you love about me.
No, I'd rather you go on and talk.
I think. Oh, now that's such a woman thing to do. I hate to be like that, but.
I'm fine.
Stereotypical woman.
No,
it's fine. It's fine. You just do it. No.
I will tell you my problem is my ADHD. So I have three topics going on in my head at once, and I just switch tracks quickly. Yeah. And so you have
also,
to follow me.
I will say, with that, I can, if when I'm talking, you could really you could say what I said word for word, even though I know you have 20 conversations going on in your head about next things you want to talk about.
Yes.
How do you do it?
I do think it's funny when they put out the almost like the the words under what I have to say. Because the person who types that must be like, this dude is absolutely nuts because he is all over the place.
No, but I think your thoughts are well thought. Like, I think you, when you talk, it's well thought out and you come full circle.
No, I switch it. Like, I'll be talking about puppies, then
I think my
else.
Mind is more calm.
You're on one track. I'm switching tracks.
You know, I'm more focused in the moment of, because, yeah.
So I've had some thoughts on how we can improve the podcast. So I know that we have a lot of fans of Dixie and Charlie out there, and they want
to shout out to them.
Shout out. We're in this podcast because of all of the people that follow our kids and us, and that's really cool. So I don't want to stop giving them behind the scenes, our parents' perspective on what's happened in our week, but I also don't want it to be just going back to, hey guys, on Monday we did this, on Tuesday we did that, because I think that's boring. So I want to start to do a couple things. I would love if
we,
there's
two people in this podcast,
if you're accepting,
and we decided.
And we can vote on it. And
that doesn't even make sense.
I know. So I would love for us to talk about what happened. Wait, are you okay?
I'm getting crisscross applesauce, and it's hard because this chair is little.
So let's give a visual because it's a podcast.
Okay,
so
I'm wearing jeans that are fitted, and I'm sitting crisscross applesauce. This is my favorite way to sit.
Great.
Okay, proceed.
So I think we should go and talk a little bit about, kind of give like the first 5 minutes. Hey, this is what we did this week. These are some of the cool things that happened. But then start to give our perspective on certain topics. Because as a parent, you're back on your phone again. What's going on?
Just making sure our kids are okay. Jesus. You know what? Because I usually, before we go into the podcast, I usually text them both and say, Dad and I are going to the podcast. So if you don't hear from us and you try to get in touch with us, that's where we are. Now, they could look at the calendar before they reach out.
Because it is on a family calendar.
Yeah,
that
but
we have.
They just sometimes reach out. And so I like to give that text. And I didn't, because we were talking about a million things when we walked in. So that's why I was on my phone, kind sir.
Oh, awesome.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
So I think what we should do, I would love to hear from our listeners via Twitter, like, what do you guys want to hear from our podcast? Is it more behind the scenes of what happened? Is it more our perspective? Should we get guests? That's the other thing. So we've been guests on a lot of other podcasts, and that's but should we get guests? Would you like guests?
I want guests. That's fun when we've had guests here.
Okay, so those are one of those things where I asked you a question and you ended it, and then I had to talk.
But there's other things to talk about. Like, I said what I said, now let's move on. What do we need like, go on and on about my answer being yes to having guests? Yes, I'd love to have guests on here. I would love to have all different kind of guests.
What kind of guests?
Guests that are in the social media space, guests that are parents of kids in the social media space, other human beings, maybe some puppies. I don't know. I'm open. Who would you like to have as guest on the show?
I would like to I always wanted to talk to other influencers' parents.
I love that.
And see what we have in common with them, what we don't, what they did. People always ask us, we gave our kids the tools by me probably being a little bit, whatever, giving them phones at a real early age, where people would look at us and say, oh my God, they have phones, it's so young, or them having computers, or them being on social media pretty early. But it ended up working out. But I would love to know, like, if David Dobrik's parents, how involved they were. Like, he had to have been able, he had to have a phone and a camera and some of the basic tools to do videos. And were they supportive of it early on?
I wonder how much of it, being a parent like you that have kids that are in sports and activities their whole lives, you can see some of the parents that are, maybe the kid doesn't want to be there as much as maybe the parent might want them to be there. And that everybody has their own reasons, and I'm not judging. I'm just saying there is that. I wonder for the ones that have grown to be huge in the social media space, was it self-driven? You know, like, I wonder if it's like traditional sports or activities where sometimes, and like, I do agree with, like, sometimes, like, a kid might not want to do something because they've never done it before and they need a little push. Like, that I get, you know, sometimes it's obvious that the kid does not want to be there. They don't want to be doing that activity, and the parent wants it more than them. I wonder in social media if that happens. Like,
that's an interesting question. I doubt very much, like, the way someone might have their kid play baseball or little league or softball because they played baseball. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many parents are sitting there going, Johnny, Sally, you definitely get on your phone and start TikToking.
I feel like I'd like to find out, like, for a lot of these kids that a lot of them are our kids' friends, was it just started as something fun? Was it an outlet for creativity, somewhere to put all their creative ideas? You know, where, and what's the common thread in all the kids and you know, that are so, have so many, such a big following? Like, is there a common thread in their personalities? And
it's funny, you would think the common thread between all of these influencers would be them having that outgoing, extroverted personality. And oddly enough, it's almost, I think a lot of them could be good actors, because I do think they are playing a part. And if you look at, I don't want to bring up kids' names that aren't my kids, but a lot of the ones we've met are very introverted, but they play a part in social media. And I think that's true to I'll talk about our kids. Charlie is very shy, very introverted, like, is a homebody. But when she's in her comfort zone, looking at the camera, she's really, really good. So I would argue that extroverts are not better. I would argue that introverts kind of, because that's where they're comfortable. They're not necessarily comfortable going out and chatting and having a conversation with people. They're in their own space.
Yeah, I think that's why the people that we know that are shy in real life do so well, because where are they? They're in their room by themselves doing things that they find fun or creative, or, and they can just express themselves, no judgment, nobody's watching me, but somehow post it and know that there's millions of people seeing it. Like, that's okay to them, because it doesn't almost seem like real or something. I don't know. But yeah, I think the fact that they are alone and doing this is their comfort zone.
I'll give you more on that. If you think about it, so there was Charlie, a lot of her initial TikToks were done in her room, and people have heard the stories that we would say to her, mm-hmm. Why don't you pick up, how are you making a TikTok in front of your bed? You didn't make your bed, there's clothes on the floor. And then I remember one time when we came out to LA, and when she first came to LA, she stayed with me in a hotel room, and she was in the bathroom making TikToks. And I'm like, dude, we're in California. Like, mm-hmm. And I'm sitting there as a dad. I'm like, make a TikTok in front of the Hollywood sign. And I'm like, we're in LA. There's palm trees. There's everything. Like, go outside and make some TikToks. And she was just totally comfortable. I'm like, how? No one's going to know you're in California. You're in a bathroom with a mirror. And
I remember you calling me and like, you're like, hi, I can't get this kid out of the bathroom. She's just in there making videos. Like, I want to go out and go do things. And I don't get it. Like, I was like, what? Why not? Like, it's so beautiful there. Yeah, I do remember that.
And
now we get it.
Right. And I'm outgoing and my content is horrendous. So, there you go.
Talking about being, you know, more introverted, the people who are more social and want to be more around other people doing it, their content is different. Like, you can tell, and they do things that have them interacting with other people, you know, and that's where they shine. So there's definitely room for everybody.
Right. So how would you title this episode? What do you think the title of the episode?
Social media is currency. We think, but we're not sure. We're just dabbling in the idea. Yeah, I don't know.
We have no idea. We're basically.
I title it as, we have no idea what we're talking about, yep. But here's what we think.
Hey, everyone. It's Demilio's. Don't take advice from us because we have no idea what we're doing. But we have a podcast. I remember when I was in college, everyone was a better typer than I was. And I remember getting out when I graduated college, going on interviews, they would say, how many words per minute do you type? And I wasn't a good typer. So I clearly remember saying, like, to what's the future of typing? And I was like, well, computers. So that's when, I mean, we bought Dixie and Charlie Mac computers at such a young age. Mm-hmm. And then we bought them phones at such a young age. And I remember parents looking like,
hold on to that.
Yeah, go.
We were going to get Dixie a phone at her fifth grade graduation. A lot of the parents were doing that because we'd been together since pre-K. So we're all like really close. And that was kind of like the majority of people were doing that. Like, it was time. They're going to middle school. It's different. They're going to be on a bus. Like, I think it's time. So that was the plan. And then you ended up getting it for her early. Like, a little bit earlier than I wanted to give it to her the day of graduation. You went and did your own thing. But Charlie, do you remember this? So Charlie is almost 3 years younger than Dixie, and you broke your phone. So you go to the Apple store and was like, or whatever store, was it an Apple store?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
And you were like, Charlie, want to come? You know, she was your sidekick. So she was wherever you were going, she was going. So she hops in the car, you guys go, comes back, you have a new phone, and she has a phone. She was third grade. I was like, what is happening? You were like, no, let me explain to you. It was cheaper to get a fourth line and a fourth phone than it was to fix my phone. I still don't know if that's true, but I felt like she had given you some PowerPoint presentation on why she should have a phone in third grade. It was a flip phone. It was like, she wasn't doing much on it.
Right. But hindsight being 2020, we made the right decision. I would say.
Or would it have happened anyway?
Well, it wouldn't have happened if we wouldn't have given them phones.
No, but I mean, so young.
Like, right. I do think let's back up. I think when your kid is born, you should reserve their names on Instagram, TikTok, Triller, YouTube, and you should start posting content. Then you should hand that off to them at the time you feel it's appropriate. That is the currency of the future. And any parent that you could monitor it, you can manage it. Any parent that doesn't do that is doing a disservice to their kids.
Really?
Yes.
You feel that strongly about it?
Absolutely.
I'm going to go on the flip side of that. I don't know. I feel like I've seen like actors or like artists or huge, you know, stars that don't show their children because they've lived that and they've been in the public eye and they don't want that for their kids. I think the kids should decide. Reserve the name, yes. Build it up. No, you have all that material. If they're in sixth, seventh grade and they're like, I really want to build and put a story out of who I am, you have all that stuff. You can just hand it to them. They can do it. Let them do it.
Yeah, but I think just like anything else, it's like, you know, saving for college. I think it's the new saving for college.
You are right.
I think that you should, they can always delete it, not do anything with it, go into obscurity.
Oh, wait, here's the question. Should the parent keep it private until the kid is ready to decide?
No, the parent should promote it and try to get it as big as possible. Hmm. I don't know if this, and I talked about this on the Drinking Bros podcast. I don't know if colleges actively look at followers but you got to think if I'm hiring somebody for a job and whatever job it is, and I'm like, wow, this person's done a good job. I'm not impressed with how many followers they have. I'm impressed with the fact that they've been able to create their own brand. And that to me is like, wow, if this person did something so big for their personal brand, imagine what they'll do for my school, for my company, whatever, whatever it is. I have no basis to that. That's just straight opinion. I don't know if that's factual or not.
I see your, and I'm going to raise you. Okay, so I think there are people that curate this beautiful social media stuff. Because these kids that are in college, that are, they're out, they're partying, they're having a good time, they're posting it all. You think a company is going to hire them thinking, you know, they might be a little too much for our brand and our company. So that could be a negative. Obviously, we've all seen that happen. People are posting things and then colleges get a hold of it and it's not good. I feel like that's promoting this beautiful curated version of yourself.
See, I look at it the other way. First of all,
or does it make you be a better person?
First of all, I think, like we did, one of the things that we told the girls early on is like, you're in charge of your own brand. Mm-hmm. And what brand do you want to be? And I'm not going to get in the middle of the brand you decide to put out there, but I'll give you my advice. And my advice is to protect your brand. So I think if you did that, you're looking at an issue that could happen, which I don't disagree with. The more followers you have and the more negativity you put out there, more people are going to know that you don't have a positive brand, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying, like, give your kids a head start, get all that stuff situated, because I think the future is less big corporations and more entrepreneurship and more people, whether they are, I'm not saying that you should do this in hopes that your kids become an influencer. I'm saying that you do this in hopes that your kids become a doctor, a lawyer, and they have this currency, this following, this platform to do really cool things. I'm not suggesting at all that parents should try to create influencers.
Do you kind of look at it like a walking resume?
Yes, I do. And I think it gives all you want to do as a parent is set your kids up better than you try to do better for your kids than your parents did for you. And I think that's just part of it. So, I mean,
know if it's like better, because you make it sound like, you could have for the time, like more current and what the opportunities are at that. Like, I think, you know, no one had more love in our houses than us, right? So we were very fortunate with that. I'm hoping to do as equal to that in our home with our kids as we had with love, right? So I'm not going to do better in that sense.
Sure.
But now there's social media. So with that, do a good job of...
My point is there are parents... My point is there are parents out there that frown upon social media and think that that there's some big negative thing to giving your kid a phone and having them be on social media early. And I would argue that if you're doing your job as a parent and you're instilling values in your kids, yeah, things could come off the rails, but they could come off the rails anyway. Yeah. So I think
they'll come off the rails in other ways.
Yeah.
I just do feel this is what I get. And I don't know what the answer is if you're saying like you build this up for your kid, right? And you hand it to them and as a gift, like this is basically your life since birth. And now you have this thing, it's yours. So does that then, I mean, we know without a doubt, there are these people that are on social media and they have these beautiful social media platforms, and not saying they're big, some of them are small, which is everybody starts somewhere, right? But then they go on someone else's and says some of the most vile things. So it's like you're creating look, in a parent's eyes, like you think your kid is everything, right? And is it now you're setting, like, I don't know, like, obviously, you still have to parent them and teach them don't do those things. Like, don't be an asshole on someone else's account. But is it giving them further ways to hide that they're rude on other accounts or saying really mean things?
Yeah, I don't know. And look, I haven't thought this out very well. I just think that I think that social media and your followers are things that could help you later in life. And to start early and to build that, I think you still have to do all the other good things. I think you have to parent. I think you have to ask your kids hard questions. I think sometimes you have to do a little bit of investigation without violating their trust. And and that's the hard part too, is like, I never grabbed Dixie and Charlie's phone and went through their texts. I just constantly said, like, hey, once you type something, it's out there. Once you make a mistake, it's out there. And the mistakes are extremely making a mistake nowadays isn't like making a mistake when we were kids. It's unforgiving. So that's it.
This is the advice I would give to parents when you have young kids that are on social media. And whether you curated their account since birth or they're just starting and you're monitoring it, look for their other accounts. Kids make secret accounts to go on other people's social media pages and write really, really vile things. That's a fact. Period.
How would they know that? And first of all, I don't like it. I think it's been emotionally terrible for our kids and for other kids. I don't know how you combat that except parent and try to create good human beings. I don't know that. Yeah, obviously, if you went and saw a negative post from a 9-year-old and you went to their parents and you said, "This is what Johnny said," I'm sure it would. But I don't know how you, I think you have a better chance of working the other way and saying, look, people are going to say bad things and you have to build confidence in yourself. You have to build self-esteem and you have to know your true self. And as an adult at 52, how old I am? Approximately. It's hard, man. It's hard. I tend to think, how about if I throw a zinger at you now,
oh,
Heidi?
Oh, gosh.
If I say, I think that we grow up and we deal with bullies, no matter how popular you are, no matter how cool you are, there's older kids, there's people, you're always going to deal with that negativity. And I think what happens as you get older, you start to surround yourself by people and you don't have to go to school anymore. You don't have to do all these things. If you don't like the people in your workplace, you can go and find a new job. There are certain things. So I would argue that people build a life with people that they love and care about and only say good things. And I would argue that some of the negativity builds thicker skin, makes you look at yourself a little bit. And although maybe 99% of the stuff isn't true, it makes you think on how your, for me personally, I'm not saying for you, some of the negativity has made me get closer to the people that I'm close with, made me introspective and look at myself and say, well, maybe that's not far off of, maybe I can work on that. So.
And this is goes back to what I said at the beginning, how you always look at it from all sides. And that's a great perspective. And I never thought about it that way. So thank you for that.
Before we started, you're welcome. You're welcome. And before we started this, I had super thin skin. I thought, you know, I come across as someone who's super confident, but I think we're, I don't want to speak for everyone, but I think we're all insecure in certain ways. And this whole experience has helped me realize that, not that it doesn't matter what people say, but if you're living your life, doing your best, being a good human being, and now I kind of just laugh the stuff off unless it's true. And then I look at that and I say, yeah, I could do a better job at that. Mm-hmm. You're probably right.
I like that. Good job.
Yeah. Well, what did we talk about this whole episode?
We went
totally off script.
We went on, but that was good because it was something that I've thought about, and I know you've talked about building your social media as it's the new currency. And as you grow older, you know, I just think the only thing is when you're a kid, right? You make kid mistakes. And unfortunately, in social media, you're not allowed to make mistakes. You get penalized for it forever. That's the only thing. And so these kids, you know, they're going to hide mistakes. They're not going to, you know, I think it's, I get torn on it because you feel ashamed to make a mistake. That's part of life.
But I have a great example for you. Okay.
Let's hear it.
If you put money away, we're talking currency. So let's say as a parent, you started saving for your kid, and most parents save to put their kids through college. But let's say you just saved $20 a week for their life or whatever, and you have this after interest and all this stuff over 18 years, you hand them an amount of money. It could be $1,000. It could be $200,000, whatever it is, you hand it to them. What you're saying is you want to make sure they use the currency properly, but there's no guarantee on that. I think how you raise your kid is going to, and the type of person they am, some nurture, some nature, they may blow the money. Mm-hmm. The day you hand
That's
it to them,
true.
They may blow it. They may keep an investment. I don't know.
I like that.
All I'm saying is like, give them the option to succeed, and hopefully they'll do the right thing.
Yeah. You know, I think it's hard too, because we didn't grow up with it. Like their kids, it's going to be different, right? The kids that are 20-year-olds now, right? When they have kids, they're going to know what it's like to be on social media when you're 11, 12, 13 years old. We don't know that. So I think it'll be even better. They're going to do a better job than we did.
And I think what you're looking at is just handing this over to them. This is just part of the thing, whether it's money for college or money for whatever, plus, hey, this is your, you know, this is your social media platform that as a family we've built for you. Mm-hmm. It's yours. I think what you're missing is you're teaching them along the way. So hopefully when they get this, whether if you use the example of putting a college fund together for them and they decide they don't want to go to college, hopefully they have the tools because you've been teaching them that, all right, well, you're obviously not just going to blow this money. You're going to do something smart, right, with it. And so
how young do you let them in on the creative process?
I think as soon as you think that they would, you would normally let them handle it themselves.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you gotta, I'm not even, I don't even have any understanding of how you would grow their following. All I'm saying is that once you secure the, you should secure their at their name and keep it going. I'm not saying you're going to hand them a verified account. I don't even know how that would be how that would be possible. But yeah, that's my.
That's interesting. And then like I'm just envisioning so. They have it. And then let's say they grow their following and then they get verified. Like these are going to be parts of life that are like, oh my God, I'm having a verified party.
I would love to talk with a college admissions officer and say, because you know, 10 years ago, an applicant's following had no bearing on anything. But today, if all of a sudden colleges are, most of them are for-profit businesses, right? So, and if they can bring an ambassador, a student who can market their college, who has a million followers, it's got to weigh in to the decision. So any college admissions officers out there, I'd love to know your take. Is it 5%? Is it 10%?
Think they would admit it?
No, I don't think so.
Me neither.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. I'm Mark. You can follow me at Mark D'Amelio. That's Mark D'Amelio.
And follow me on my socials at Heidi D'Amelio.
D'Amelio.
Did I say it right?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I think we've decided you could say it a bunch of different ways. D'Amelio, D'Amelio, D'Amelio. Just don't put a G in there. D'Amiglio is another name.
Yeah, people call us that all the time. Yeah.
All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Bye.
Mark and Heidi, the other D'Amelios, comes to you from Ramble, a Cadence 13 studio.
You can listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.